Good morning. Thank you for being here. This morning's shir, Rav Chaim, is Rav Chaim Kanievsky's Segulos for being blessed with children. This topic is actually inspired by one of the Bnei HaChabura, based on a speech, something that he said, inspired me, and I hope to share that story at the end of today's shir. So to begin, I think we need to give a little bit of an introduction. It's Friday night. Come home from shul. You have a scene. Parents by a Shabbos table. The father just came home. The father goes around the table and starts blessing his children. Birchas Habanim Friday nights. You find the makor in the Siddur Yavetz that there are those that have this minog, some that do not. They only give a bracha, a formal bracha to the children on Erev Yom Kippur. But there are many that give a bracha every Friday night. The Yavetz said that applies not just to young children, katanim, but even to gedolim, not just boys, also girls. And the scene of a father coming home from shul, giving a bracha to his precious child with a beautifully set Shabbos table as a child looks up to the father is a beautiful scene. At the same time, they're sitting at the Shabbos table, guests. A couple that has not yet been blessed with children. That scene might be a beautiful scene for people that have children, but that same scene, unfortunately, is painful and is probably one of the hardest times for a couple that's not yet blessed with children. We know Jewish life is so much focused around family, and it's so hard, especially during Shabbos Yontif, when you have a couple that is not yet blessed with children. It's so hard to deal with such a challenge, such a nisayon. And it really is something which that unto itself, I think, is an important aspect to bring up, is that Baruch Hashem, people that are blessed with children should be cognizant, should be sensitive to the nth degree on the feelings of this couple that's struggling through their nisayon, through their challenge. Everyone in life has challenges. People who are blessed with children, people who unfortunately are not blessed with children. There are challenges in both sides of the fence. But to empathize and to understand what these people are going through is a big deal. And the first step I think they need is for people to understand, to be sensitive to their needs. In the world today, I'm just first commenting on the Metzias, is a person needs a shidduch. A person struggles with parnasa. People also don't have children. A lot of people take advantage of the world of segulas. No, when I was a kid, there was the wide world of sports, but there's also the wide world of segulas. There are so many segulas, some for sale, some for free, where one could find special segulas to help them to be blessed with children. And that definitely is a path which just practically, it seems a lot of people embark on in this journey. I wonder how many of these segulas were first advised by a Rav or a Rebbe. I wonder if maybe the reason why, in specifically our generation, why there's so many people, quote unquote, running to schools, is because people don't have a Rebbe and don't have necessarily this rabbinic guidance of how to proceed. And these segulos seem like a quick fix, an easy way of how to solve a big problem. And I hope people are running to segulos even before they daven, or even before they put effort into davening. But segulos have definitely become very popular. And, you know, that's probably is the first thing, you know, before someone even attempts to enter the realm of segulos, to seek advice on what they should do. I had a very interesting Hashgacha Pratis story happen to me the other day. I was preparing to share, going through so many different Mar Makomos. And I got a phone call from one of my former Talmud of mine, who was actually calling me to fundraise for Eitan. Eitan was having a Shasathon, and this Talmud asked me if I wanted to participate. So I said, sure. But I decided, once I was schmoozing with my hem on the phone, I said, would you mind if I tell you the topic of my next share? Giving for the community. I told him I'm giving a share on this topic of people who unfortunately haven't been blessed with children. And I asked him, you know, were you involved with any segulas? So I actually ended up, it's ironic, this Talmud of mine actually was learning with another Talmud of mine, who both originally, when they first got married, sometime didn't have children. And they both were helped out through this organization, Eitan. And their chavrusas in the Shasathon to go through X amount of blot to fundraise for Hakaras HaTov to this organization to help them. So I actually reached out to both of them. And I got quite a bit of insight in this area. One thing that one of these Talmidim told me was especially close to Reb David Feinstein Zatzal. And he discussed with him segulas. Now, before I tell you what Reb David says, let me just give you a picture of, a little bit of a picture of how many segulas, the wide world of segulas. I'm not sure there's a comprehensive sefer or book. Probably not, because a lot of these segulas are like black market. Of all the possible segulas to have children, we'll get to it in a second. Someone tried to compile a sefer of Rav Chaim Kalievsky's segulas. Right? That itself could fill a sefer. But all the segulas across the board, Ashkenazic, Sephardic, Hasidish, Kabbalah, there are tons. So many. And some of them are pretty wild. Some of them might be harmless. You know, someone told me they have a famous segula is for a woman to wear a ruby. And there's even a gemach. You know, not everyone has that jewel. And people do that. People advise that. Someone told me, that Chashav HaPosek recommended that. Then there are segulas which are pretty weird. And it sounds like, is this Judaism? Is this Yiddishkeit? Sounds like very strange things that people are being asked to do. And one clear clarification that I heard b'shem Reb David Feinstein, and I'll show you in a moment, I believe Reb Chaim also at least basically held to this clarification, is in order to be a segula that one should go after, it should be a segula which is a clear makor, a very clear halachic basis. Reb David standard was it has to be based on the Gemara, Medrash, the Chazal, something very clear. Not some sefer from 100 years ago, even though they found it, you know, floating in the air. Well, it's got to be an early, early Makor. It's got to be a Chazal. And that itself distinguishes between different segulas. That if the segula is something which can be traced back to a Gemara, to a Medrash, something from the times of the Tanoim, the Amorayim, okay. But something, even if it has a great pedigree, but it's doesn't go that far back, not so simple. Look, if someone's advised to do that by their Rav, okay, fine. That's what their Rav is telling them to do. The Rebbe is telling them to do. But Rav David's advice, Rav David Feinstein Zetzal, Padal Chaim, Chaim Kanievsky, is more to stick to segulas which have a clear halachic background. So, what we'd like to do today is go through seven segulas from Rav Chaim and explain the background, Makar, the basis of them. And this way, it's an interesting topic, but you'll also see perhaps maybe a difference between these type of segulas and some of the other stranger ones. Now, part of what prompted me to give a share, someone recently came out with a sefer called Segulas Chaim, of just Rav Chaim Kanievsky's segulas on to have children. And it was actually from someone part of the Chaim's inner circle, Talmud, who's been by him for years, and seen Rav Chaim a lot, seen Rav Chaim paskin these shilas, and wrote a pretty comprehensive sefer. I tried to get my hands on the sefer. I don't think anyone in our neighborhood yet has it. I asked one of the biggest collectors. They said he didn't get it. But I did see excerpts of that sefer. Plus, I looked around many spots. So that's what we base today's share on. So the first of Rav Chaim Kanievsky's segulas to be blessed with children. And this one, when I've spoken over with people, they say, oh, yeah, that's a famous one, sure. Seems a lot of people know of it, perhaps have tried it, is to make Havdalah on wine. Davka to be makbid, to make Havdalah on wine, not on beer. And actually, Rav Chaim Kanievsky wanted to be mdayek, not on grape juice either. To do Havdalah on wine, that is a schus for one to have children. Where is this from? So it's a Gemara in Shavuos. It's on one sheet. The Gemara is actually going through different schosim to have children. Before that, the Gemara talked about being medaktik in Hilchos Nida. But the Gemara says halfway through the page, Amar Rav Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan, Kol Mavdo al Yayin. Anyone who does Havdalah on Yayin, Rav Chaim understood Yayin as Dafka, the Motzi Shabbosos, Havilum Banim Sucharim, he'll have male children. Dixiv, Lahavdo Ben HaKodosh Ben HaChol. The Pasuk says that we're supposed to make a difference. That's really what Havdalah is. Lahavdo Ben Kodosh LaChol. Dixiv also, Lahavdo Ben HaTamei Ben HaTar. V'samachlei, Isha ki sazria. The Torah uses another similar lashon, lahavdo bein tami vahatar, to separate between tami and tar, which is right next to, is a bridge to the parsha of Isha ki sazria, a woman when she gives birth. So the Gemara therefore darshins, if you do havdalah properly, to the best degree, with wine, so then you'll have Banim Zecharim. Actually, the Gemara says more than that. Right? You have Banim Zecharim. There's even a Lashon Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi says the lashon in the Gemara before him. The stomach applies over here too. You'd have banim ruim laharos, because it says also a lashon lahavdil laharos. Not bad. You'll have male sons. You'll have sons who are discussed to be rabbanim, to be able to paskin. So that's one area. Now the first thing you see from this, you know, I'm just going to use this as an example. Again, the ruby, where a woman wearing a ruby necklace. Look, there's makaris for it. Someone said it's a stipler, Chaim's own father. He found the makar in the Yalkut Mayam Loes. But there is a difference. A person just wearing an amulet, wearing a jewel, okay? You're doing an action. But this advice that the Gemara is giving, you're being medaktik in halacha. It's a different type of segula. Person has this nesayon, has this challenge. So, okay, we talked about davening. This segula is a segula that I'm going to be better in halacha. I'm going to try to be medaktik to do havdalah in the best possible way. Not just with beer, not just with grape juice, but with wine. Medaktik to do havdalah better, that's a schus to have banim scharim. That's one segula. Second segula, also pretty famous, is shiluach hakan. Now this, when you first see, it's very popular. People that struggle with having children, it's a big deal. I believe there's like a big racket. You have people that are shiluach hakan experts. They'll find you a nest. They'll teach you all the halachas for a small fee. And they'll set you up to do shiluach hakan. It's not the easiest thing to find. Though we had this maisa by the yeshiva not far over here. Okay, but do the mitzvah, the mekayim, the mitzvah shiluach hakan. That's a schus to have children. Now, people know shiluach hakan is an important mitzvah. It's clear in the Torah that that's a schus for arichas yamim. Where does one see the connection between shiluach hakan and having children? Is there a clear connection? Where is that from? So Reb Chaim found there's a medrash in Parshas Kisetze where the medrash does say that if a person does Shiluach HaKan, he's rewarded with children. So the medrash spells out this idea. But I found in the Sefer, besides the medrash, there is a fascinating, fascinating story. You know, it seems that Shiluach HaKan is one of the popular things people try to do. And Reb Chaim gave Eidos that he thinks it's a school that works. He says, years and years ago, there was a nest right outside Kolo Chazanish. The Kolo in Bnei Brak, named after Reb Chaim's uncle, Chazanish. Reb Chaim said there were four Yungalite in the kolel, who at that point didn't have any children, and they did the mitzvah shiluach hakan. Not giving a whole shiur now on shiluach hakan. Chaim holds, I believe, that there's a way that you could recycle the shiluach hakan and mafker the eggs, so then someone else could come and do the same mitzvah again. So four kolel people who did not yet have children did it. And all of them within the year were blessed with children. Rabbi Chaim says, I'll tell you even better. I was one of the four. He says, that's when my son Shlomo was born. Do you know who the son Shlomo is? Shlomo Kanievsky is Rabbi Chaim's son, who's Rosh Yeshiva and Yeshiva Kiryat Melech. He actually, before Corona, was in America for quite a while, raising funds for his yeshiva. So
place. Shlomo was born after that mitzvah of Shiloh HaKan. So one sees that Shiloh HaKan is an important mitzvah, and that's a means to do it. Someone told, you know, it's definitely a popular mitzvah that people try to get their hands on, pun intended. The third area, which Reb Chaim talked about, is the midaktik in Shmirah Shabbos. One should be midaktik in Shmirah Shabbos. And people will come to Reb Chaim and tell him that they are struggling with having a child. Chaim will say, okay, you know, do you do X, Y, and Z on Shabbos? Are you makbid on this, makbid on that? One of the things in Bnei Brak that Chaim would talk about is being makbid on electricity. There are many people in Bnei Brak, it's really the Chazon Ish's Shita, others in Yerushalayim too, that are makbid not to get electricity on Shabbos from the Israeli power company due to the fact that through the work of Jews on Shabbos, and they have their own generators, or sit in the dark, on Shabbos, in order not to violate, to be extra stringent on these halachas. Actually, in Bnei Brak, they're makbid on many halachas. You ever look in the Chazon Ish or the Stipler Svarim, you open the first page, it says, Nidvos b'nir she'im bo chashas chol Shabbos. Is in Eretz Yisrael, unfortunately, there are probably more nisyonos for Hana from Chol Shabbos than in America. In America, you know, first of all, Halvai, it's made in America. It's made in China, a lot of things. In Eretz Yisrael, obviously there are things made there in the country, but you have paper that was produced in some, unfortunately, Jewish factory that could be open on Shabbos, potential issues. So Ibn Brak in the Kanievsky home, stemming from the Chazon Ish, is psukim, is they were trying to be very makbid on all these areas. Electricity, paper, maybe water. Now this is one of the areas, I'm sure there's a clear chazal for it. I couldn't find it. I didn't have the sefer itself, I just had excerpts, and the excerpts didn't say where the makor for this was. But I myself did find something similar, which I thought was very interesting. If you look in Shulchan Aruch or Chaim Resh Nun Vav, there the Mechaber is talking about that when there's a possibility for Jews to have Debi Yeshuvan, they have political clout, so it's kedai to have sirens, tekios, on Arab Shabbos to warn people about Shabbos. I grew up in Flatbush. To me, it's one of the greatest mysteries. I don't know how this was ever pulled off, but in Flatbush, in Borough Park, anyone who grew up there knows what I'm talking about. Is on Erev Shabbos, the air raid sirens. Yes, the air raid sirens that were put in place in case the Russians bombed us during the Cold War. On Erev Shabbos in Flatbush and in Borough Park, these sirens go off very loud two times. One's like right before lift benching, and one's like 10 minutes before, 15 minutes before, to warn people for Shabbos. Mamish Bekuyim. This halacha and Shulchan Aruch. Quite amazing. Yerushalayim goes off, the sirens, Eretz Yisrael, sure. But one of the things the Chafetz Chaim writes, I'll read to you, beautiful idea from the Chafetz Chaim. He says, if a kehilas gedolas ma'od, she after ma'achris, you can't just have a guy, paper boy, go, Shabbos, Shabbos. Now, that you should have people of a whole slew of people, a team of people, that they should go and warn people that they should shut their stores, and when it's time for Hadlakas Neros. And he says, Baruch Hashem, Ukeis Nimzakan, the Kama Yoros Gedoros, Chaburus Gedoshis, Misotos, Al Shkachas HaShabbos. There are many organizations which encourage people about Shabbos. The Ashrei Chelkam, the Chafetz Chaim says, how wonderful is their lot. Ki Hem Hazikim Es Yisrael Avim Shebashamayim, the Yitzko Avrezeh, Hamaskim Tomid Mitzazu, with Banim Gedol Yisrael. Someone involved in spreading a message of Shmir Shabbos, it's a tremendous chos to have Banim Gedol, the Banim Gedol Yisrael. Big thing. Someone was just telling a story the other day, famous thing, that for years, I think it's still going, I don't read it, but on the cover of the New York Times, someone paid on the Friday edition a little box for the candle lighting times to be printed there. That was his way of fulfilling these words of the Mishnah Berurah. I don't know which kavir, you know, paid for it, but it's a wonderful thing. You're spreading Shemir Shabbos to what people otherwise want to know. And the Chafetz Chaim writes of Mishnah Berurah, it's supposed to get children of Gedol Yisrael. What's the basis of this Chafetz Chaim? Chafetz Chaim bases it on the Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara says, Hazahir bin Ner, if someone is careful with the Ner, and the Gemara in Shabbos says, that refers to Ner Chanukah, which we just went through, careful, medaktik, to do that mitzvah well, as well as Ner Shabbos, then we'll have Banim Tamid Chachamim. So, the Chafetz Chaim saying, I didn't make up this Makar, comes from the Gemara. And the Chafetz Chaim takes it even back further. He says, the Gamamu Chazal Gabli Al-Kana, Kishahaya Olo Lerego B'chol Shana V'Shana, Hinechavim B'chol Pan Mezarim Yisrael, Shim Gamkin Yitzchu B'mitzazu. On his way up to Yerushalayim to be Olo Lerego, he would be the proud piper. Elkanah would try to gather more and more Jews to be Olo Rego. Only Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Ad Gevanta Lezakas Yisrael, Yir Kavana Mezaka Kal Yisrael, Ani Otzim Mimcha Ben Sheyizkes Yisrael Lefanai Vizalcha Yotzim Menu Shmur. Chazal say, you know the schus Elkanah had to have a son like Shmuel. Moshe v'Aaron v'Kohanav u'Shmuel v'Kohanav Shmuel, because Shmuel went about, because Elkanah, his father, went about and was mezayer people in Shmir Shabbos. So l'chora, one might say Maiskos, only what the Chafetz Chaim is quoting over here, maybe it's only if you mezaka the Rabbin. But it seems Ruchaim Kadievsky understands it. Even on a personal level, you're very medactic in Shabbos. Maybe that, in some level, also is a means of Zikar Rabban. The better I keep Shabbos, the more of an impact that has on other people. So that's a third area. A fourth area, and to be honest, this is something that Reb Chaim says for many things. I thought people asked about Reb Chaim Akasha. I think it was one of the times people asked about what should the Jews do in Florida with the hurricane? Remember that one? He said, move to Eretz Yisrael. Chaim is one of the biggest Zionists there are. The answer to many questions, Chaim says, move to Eretz Yisrael, move to Eretz Yisrael. Some people won't like the word I just used. But Chaim is one that obviously values and treasures what it means to be in Eretz Yisrael. Don't believe that he ever left Eretz Yisrael. And Reb Chaim says moving to Eretz Yisrael is a schos to have children. Where does that come from? What's the makor for that? So it's also the Gemara in Yevamos and Samach Dalet. The Mishnah says just quickly went through it. Nasi Isha Vashayima Esr Shanim Lo Yoda Inarash Levato. That the Gemara, the Mishnah, gives a time period where we're judging, you know, that they weren't yet able to have children. There's a problem. The Mishnah talks about 10 years. Practically, Rabbanim say it's earlier than that. But Gemara then continues, Tanur Rabban Nashi Isha V'Shayimah Eser Shanim Below Yoda. Gemara talks about the possibility of ending such a marriage. Obviously, that's not a Pasha Chayla, and many Rabbanim would not say that practically, to know the situation. And the Gemara talks about, quotes the Pasuk by the Avos, Nikates Eser Shanim L'Shevas Avram Be'eret Kanan. L'vami She'ein Yeshivas Chutzlar It's Olam in a Minyan. When we talk about 10 years without having a child, that's 10 years with the schus of being an Eretz Yisrael. Zot Reb Chaim in the Pashas of the Gemara, which to be honest, I went through a few Rambans. It didn't seem that the Ramban understood it the same way. I don't know how Reb Chaim reads those Rambans. But Reb Chaim seems to say from this Gemara that you see the element of living in Eretz Yisrael has a big impact on the schus of having children. And this is one of the areas of advice that Reb Chaim has recommended for people. People struggling with children, Reb Chaim says, move to Eretz Yisrael. Now, probably of all the advice, all the different segulas, this is probably one of the hardest ones for people to do. Obviously, to move to Eretz Yisrael when, okay, if a couple's not clear where they want to live and they're struggling with it, okay? But if they're entrenched in America, they come to Reb Chaim for a skula, and he tells them this one, uh-oh. It's not so easy. I saw a story brought down in the Sefer, is quoted actually from the Svarim of Reb Chaim, Pesachim Derech Sicha, that there's a couple who, I'm not sure if Reb Chaim was the first person to tell them this, but there's a couple that were struggling with children, struggling with having children, and they decided to move to Eretz Yisrael as a schus for that. They moved to Eretz Yisrael as a schus for that, and unfortunately, it seemingly didn't help. They still didn't have children, right? It's very important to note, a segula is not guaranteed, right? No matter how much money you put down for the school, it's not guaranteed. And there could be other factors and other things. And in general, you know, like we talked about before, maybe the segula is not the ikar. Maybe the person should be davening better. Maybe the person should consult their rav, their rebbe. Maybe there's some midos issue that should come first. Okay. This couple moved to Eretz Yisrael and it still didn't help. And they're talking to one of their friends, another couple living in America. And the husband, let's call it couple A, is the family that didn't have children. Couple B is their friends back in America. So the husband of couple B, talking to the husband of couple A who didn't have children, says, you know, Maisa, you have to be sober this. This is, look, it's Ratzon Hashem. Look, you tried. And told him, you know, you have to accept life where life is. When his wife of couple B found out that he said such harsh words to, you know, they got into the whole sukhsukh, is that the right approach? You give them advice, you do that. And the other couple B said, I think it's the right thing to do. You know, they tried everything. Unfortunately, it does not look at this age, in this situation, they're not going to have a child. Hey, if they have a child, we're going to move to Eretz Yisrael and I'll sit and learn. If something like that happens. The word left the man's mouth. 9 months later, the couple had a child. Couple A had a child. His friend back in America was extremely happy. What a miracle, what a naze. But then he felt a little guilt. I remember I said, I didn't say Bli Nether. I said seemingly a nether. I set out, if they have a child, we're going to move to Eretz Yisrael.
I didn't really mean it. I meant it for that.
So this person, couple B, the husband decided he should reach out to Rav Chaim Kanievsky to ask him what should he do about the words that he said, the pledge that he made, that if his friends have a child, he's going to end his business in America. He's going to move to Eretz Yisrael, move to Bnei Brak, and sit and learn. He went to Rav Chaim, and guess what Rav Chaim told him? Come on down. You got to move. You got to move to Eretz Yisrael. And this Rav who wrote the Sefer asked Rav Chaim, what did the Rav base his psak on? Listen to the story within a story. Chaim says it's written in the name of the Chafetz Chaim, by the Chafetz Chaim's son, when the Kisvei Chafetz Chaim. The following story happened in the times of the Chafetz Chaim. There was a person that didn't have any children, and a Rav advised him, what you should do as a schus is open a gemach. Open a gemach. Fine, this person opened a gemach, opened a loan, a lending organization, and Baruch Hashem was blessed with the child. The gemach grew bigger, he was blessed with a second child. Then a third child, then a fourth child. His family is, the gemach is growing, and his family is growing. At a certain point, the gemach seemed to be busting at the seams, a very, very big gemach. This person felt, look, Baruch Hashem, I think I did my time. I had this gemach running for many years. Baruch Hashem, I have a lot of children. I can't do this gemach anymore. And he stopped doing the gemach, and one of his children died. That person went to the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim says, resume the gemach right away. Seems a fascinating story. The Chafetz Chaim was originally the Rav who gave him the advice in the first place. And understanding was, this gemach is a schus which is supporting your family. If you take away the gemach, you're taking away the support for the family. You can't do that. Dr. B'chaim, so I understand, B'chaim understood from this story, the application is, if somebody, someone's friend who desperately wants this family to have a child, felt, hey, if they have a child, I'm going to move to Eretz Yisrael, that's what's sustaining, that could be what's sustaining this family to have the child. If it's based on that, then you have to do that. Shows how important the words of a person are and what they say. The next segula, I found this in the Sefer. I was not put up to this by the yeshiva. It's a real segula. Paying tuition for an orphan. The Makor Reb Chaim found, says the Medrash, Medrash Rabbah, Medrash Tanchuma, that if one pays for the tuition of a Yasom, Hashem feels obligated to pay that person back with children. And Reb Chaim says it doesn't just apply to Yasomim, it applies to anyone who can't afford tuition. The wife works in the yeshiva's financial office. I asked her, hey, is there anyone in the yeshiva that other people pay for this schus? I didn't know of it. But right here, you heard it right here. Right? Okay, some segulas cost you money. This segula, if someone helps pay the tuition of a yasam or someone who can't afford it, that's a schus to have children. You're supporting children, that's a schus to get children. And this is an interesting story. You know, some gvir went to Reb Chaim, and Reb Chaim told him this. And the gvir decided he's going to support not just one yosom, multiple yosomos, multiple tuitions. And Baruch Hashem, he was zochet to have a child. He told it to one of his friends, another gever, a gever called Reb Chaim. This one maybe was like a, Reb Chaim, how much money do I have to give? He asked Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim has a good sense of humor. Reb Chaim like, well, the gematria of Tinoch is 556. Literally, Gever said to him, so how much do I have to give? $556? $5,560? $55,600? How much do I have to give? Chaim says, the more you give, the greater the hatzlacha. So paying tuition for someone who can't afford it, that's a big schus to have children. Right? It might hurt more in the pocketbook, but l'maisa, that is a bona fide schus. That's a medrash. That's a chazal. You're not paying for heebie-jeebies. You're paying for Torah. Someone's going to have the ability to learn Torah, be in yeshiva, support a yeshiva. That's a big deal. Number six is daven in a special place where someone else's tefillos were answered for this inyan of having a child. Meaning daven in a place where you know someone davened for someone to have a child and they were matzliach and the person had a child. This, the makor for this is a Medrash Rabbah in Parshas Vayetze, which it's not super clear in the Medrash, but the way Reb Chaim teiched up shop is beautiful. And really, there's a whole story in the bottom of your sheets from the Stipler. Stipler felt a place roi to daven, to have children, is the house of the Isha Hashunamis. The story in Nach, where there was this woman that Elisha stayed by, her and her husband, they were not blessed with having children. Elisha davened for them by that house. I think it was on Aliyah Sakir. He had this room upstairs. He davened there, and they had a child. Unfortunately, that child was Nifter. And that's the famous story that Elisha put pel pel, yalla yad, he did tchilas amesim on the child. And the Stipler said they found the house of the Shnamis. It's right outside Afula, which is a neighborhood of Arabs. And it's in Shunam. So the Stipler said, one davens there by that house, that's a special schus because Elisha's tefillos were answered over there. So the schus to your tefillos will also be answered over there to have a child. So, but one very, very important caveat is the Stipler said, and Reb Chaim said the same thing, it only works if you go with the security guard. You're not allowed to go there without protection. Very important. The first time that this segula was utilized in recent times, it could be 30, 40 years ago, the Stipler sent his son Reb Chaim together with a group of people, a minyan, to go daven over there, find Yeshuas. Seems one time, it's brought down the Rebbe, the Kanievsky book, as she went, and there was hundreds of people waiting for her that came out that she was coming there. Even different Arab dignitaries of the city came, the Rebbe in Kanievsky, and she told them, if you protect this place, it'll be a merit for you. And it seems people had Yeshuas by davening by that spot. I saw someone write a cute caveat, not on this story, but he says it could be, for sure in America, the greatest place you want to daven for Yeshua, Yeshuas in general, but maybe be proud to have children, is go to the base medrash of Masifta Tiferes Yerushalayim, 145 East Broadway. Reb David Feinstein was known as someone whose tefillos and brachos had tremendous impact. Before him, the same spot Reb Moshe was davening. He says, you want to look for a place where tefillos were answered? 145 East Broadway. You don't have to travel. Maybe you need, nowadays in New York, especially in Chinatown, I don't know. Maybe you need to go with security also. But 145 East Broadway. Tremendous schuss. And finally, Chaim's seventh segula that I'd like to share with you this morning is segula of learning Torah. Talmud Torah keneged kulam, the greatest schuss a person can have is to learn Torah. Even to the extent I saw an interesting shayla, someone asked Reb Chaim, someone could send me out to Shluch HaKam, but it's like out of town, I have to travel there. In kulam, sing and learning. Should I do this schuss, the segula of Shluch HaKam to have a child? Chaim says, no, sit and learn. Learning is the best chus. Chaim sometimes recommend people, you want to know which part of Torah is the greatest. Chaim has all these cute things. If you know, if you have problems with your foot, he said, learn Parak Ketz at a regal. Second Parak in Baba Kama. You want your daughter to get a shidduch. I know someone, one of my neighbors, pulled this off. Learn Maseches Kedushin. So Chaim would say, you want to have children, you want to have Zera Kayama, learn Seder Zerayim. But Torah is a big sus. On top of that, Reb Chaim wrote, says that writing Chedushei Torah, one who's able themselves to come up with Chedushei Torah, to write Chedushei Torah, that's a sus. Also supporting someone writing Chedushei Torah. I found last night a story. Two people testified, they happens to be, was an associate, that they paid for some of the svarim and the stipler. And both of them had, before that, didn't have any children. Once they paid for it, had big schus. So Torah, learning Torah is the best schus. I saw someone quote Rav Shmuel Birnbaum. He says, you want the schus to have children? Learn of Chaim Brisker. Stam. Any Torah has a schus, we say. He says, Reb Chaim Brisker was somebody who was careful to take care of Yisomen. Similar to the idea we said before, paying tuition for Yisomen. So Reb Chaim was a Baal Chesed to all those Yisomen. Reb Chaim could be a Meil Tzioshah when you learn his Torah, that you too should have a child. So these are seven schosim, seven segulas, which Reb Chaim Kanievsky talks about. I think I saw one. Tom of mine told me a great story last night. After we talked about the whole topic, he says to me, Rebbe, I'm not sure, you know, Baruch Hashem, I was blessed with a child. I'm not sure how. He says, my father pushed me, he set up, I did Shluch HaKan. My father-in-law bought for me a Kol HaNarim and Simchas Torah. People say, that's a schus, I had that. So my father thinks it's because he sent me off to Shluch HaKan. And my mother-in-law, my father-in-law think it's because of Kol HaNarim. He says, I don't know. Maybe it was just because me and my wife davened. But that's the cute part of all this. Is after all the segulas, after all the things, we don't know why these things come about. We have to put in as much effort as we can. Much hishtadlus in tefillah, in mitzvos, in making ourselves a better person. And Be'ezus Hashem, the more we do to make ourselves a better person, that should serve as a schus for everyone to be blessed with having children. I want to end with the story that I mentioned before that really inspired me to give this share. I was participating in a Zoom Levaya, and I thought it was of a family that originally was not Shomer Torah Mitzvos. Originally it was a secular Jewish family. And some of the earlier Maspidim were not, you know, they were secular Jews themselves. And I had this sad feeling when I heard these eulogies. It wasn't much of a eulogy as much as different reminiscing about the person, but without saying any tachlis, without saying anything meaningful about the accomplishments of the person's life. The last speaker to get up was a child of the Nifteres, who I know pretty well, who Baruch Hashem was Chozer B'Tshuva, came about Tshuva. And his hesped left me teary-eyed. Such a beautiful hesped. One of the personal things he shared in that hesped was that his parents struggled with having children. And they tried all different medical interventions. At that point, they were not yet from. They didn't try the segulas, but they tried a lot of medical intervention. And it seems years later, Baruch Hashem, when they're blessed with children, they always were advocating and helping other people, you know, in their situation. Tremendous source. But the person speaking, a son who, the Baal Tshuva, who did a lot for his family, said, you know, Baruch Hashem, after many years of medical intervention, they finally had a child. So sometimes in those situations, we try for so long, and Baruch Hashem, you're matzleach, you have a child. Some people say, look, okay, Baruch Hashem, I did my part. And this guy said over, his mother would always told him, after your brother was born, I said, I'm not finished yet. And she tried harder, again, to have a second child. And that's why he's here. And the greatest chosim that people can have, and the greatest mitzvahs, my rebbeim would always say this over, is the mitzvah of pruvu. The mitzvah to have the schus, to have children. The mitzvah of pruvu is, I saw from a rav who himself only had one child. I saw it come up with a beautiful chiddush. Moshe says the same chiddush. Is the mitzvah of pruvu is the effort one invests to have children. Because at the end of the day, we don't control the world. It's not Kadosh Baruch Hu's world. The mitzvah is for what we can do, but what we could try. The hishtadlus in practically whatever treatments a person could get, but sometimes equally or probably more important is the ruchnius efforts. The davening, the tikkunim, making a person a better person, being a more medaktik in mitzvos, and Bezu Hashem, all these schosim together should help all of Klal Yisrael be zoche to have Zera Shel Kayama. Thank you very much for listening. Have a wonderful week.